We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yo! Busy, busy Thursday in New York City, though. It's a very quiet night because hockey's over till the postseason. Basketball's over till the postseason. And both the New York Mets and the New York Yankees have a quiet night. So tonight's one of those nights where you could actually spend time with your family. That's what I'm doing. I'm going big time DVR tonight. Big time Curb Your Enthusiasm because we are five episodes behind. And I don't know if you know this, but apparently they had a series finale. And I have somehow gotten through a week and a half without anyone telling me what happened in the series finale. So my hope is me and my wife can do serious damage on Curb so that we can catch up.
But now that you said that, people are going to tell you.
Nah, people are classy. They would never do that.
Oh, Jerry shows up.
He's just kidding, though. Right? You're not actually spoiling it for me.
Guess you're going to have to find out.
Kind of being a jackass. We do have a busy show today. Bad Tiki's going to stop by in an hour and a half. The mayor of New York City, not AI, the real mayor, will join us at 5:30. And, of course, we talk to you. The New York Knicks are set to play Philadelphia. Rewind to 2 o'clock and hear our thoughts on the disrespect from both sides as we get set for Knicks Sixers and the surprise I had for Lugie. And apparently the whole show's coming. We're going to Game 6.
So we're going to do our show down there?
We got to figure that part out. Probably. Probably.
Got to figure out where to set up.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Where do you want to set up?
I don't know. We could do it in the parking lot. Invite Knicks fans.
I got an idea. Just call Rondé since he owns that city.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
That's a solid call.
I like that. Before we get back to your Knick calls, yesterday was an interesting matinee day of baseball. The Mets completed their sweep of the Pirates. And the Yankees had one of those days. And I've said this to you before, Tiki. As a baseball fan, it's 162 games. Mm-hmm. And I try to be even-keeled. It's tough sometimes with the emotion and the roller coaster of a baseball season where certain wins feel bigger than they are and certain losses feel worse. And I thought that yesterday afternoon, the New York Yankees engaged in what I would actually argue in the early going was their most important win of the season.
Mm.
Coming back opening day against the Astros, great. I don't want to shortchange it. It was incredible. Sweeping the Astros, amazing. The win and the finale against the Diamondbacks, awesome. But I felt yesterday at the tail end of that game, after Marcus Stroman battled his way through five innings and the offense continued to do nothing, that the Yankees were on the precipice of their first real-life uh-oh moments of the season. Uh-oh moment. Yeah. That's how I would define it. Because if they lost that game, they were going to be swept by a division rival. Mm-hmm. Their offense would have looked limp now for four straight games. And they would also be on a losing streak because they lost the finale against Cleveland. And so as that game was going on, latter part of it, I thought to myself, this has the makings of our first uh-oh moment of the season.
Yeah.
And there were a few things that happened that should not be forgotten about. First of all, I always hate when people say that's a meaningless home run. You don't know when something's a meaningless home run.
Mm-hmm.
So when Juan Soto hits a home run in the eighth inning, it ain't meaningless.
Yep.
It takes a game and makes it closer. And so you saw the Yankees begin their rally. Then they continue it in that bottom of the ninth inning. Jose Trevino comes up with a monster hit. And then it came down to Aaron Judge. And that moment and that part of the game was another defining April moment.
Yeah.
If Aaron Judge, I think behind in the count, strikes out, pops up, grounds out, doesn't come through.
One and two, I remember.
Yes.
And then he worked it back full.
He did.
With the bases loaded.
The conversation around Aaron Judge is, he's slumping. Am I worried? They've lost four in a row. What the hell is going on? Evan said they were judge-proof. He's a liar. But if you come through with a big hit, you rest all worries.
Yeah, it's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking of. I was listening to this on the radio. I was picking up my daughter from soccer practice. So I'm listening on the radio, and I'm sitting there saying, they're not judge-proof. They're not. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Especially because he's up, but the base is loaded. If he strikes out, they are not judge-proof. And this slump that Sean predicted from Anthony Volpe is happening. He's 0-for-9 in his last two games.
I'm just saying.
And so if they had lost that game, I agree with you, Evan. It would have been, first of all, it was a mistake to put Anthony Volpe in the leadoff spot.
That's BS,
which it's not.
Keep on.
I'm just saying, this is what people would have said.
Okay.
And then the conversation immediately would have gone to Aaron Judge. Why isn't Aaron Judge hitting in critical situations? Right. This is why you're paid 40 plus, or whatever it is, 40 plus million dollars a year. It's to do this and these moments.
Yeah.
Be the captain. And then he comes through with a double or a single that scored two. And it changed everything.
It changed
it
really.
It changed the feel of the team, but also changed the narrative around him.
I think it changes a lot. That's why there are games, even in April, that are real swing games. They change your view on a team.
Yes.
Now, when you look at this road trip, you see 3-3. And you say, well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what you should do on the road. Cleveland may win the AL Central. The Blue Jays are a feisty team. Okay, no harm, no foul. And with Aaron Judge, if he has an 0-5 instead of a 1-5, and his batting average is 168 instead of 183, and he didn't come through in a big spot, then the Yankees go on and lose because it is a tie game. You never know how it plays out. I think the perception of the team and where they're at and the perception of Aaron Judge looks very different. And that's why yesterday, late afternoon, early evening, was one of those rare, hey, that felt like it mattered more. And it's a long-ass season. I'm the first to acknowledge that, but there were certain games. The Mets have already had a few, and I think the Yankees had one yesterday afternoon that just, it almost counts a little bit more, or at least it feels
that
way.
Well, it just feels that way. Because if you get swept, it just, it doesn't, you feel a little bit off. You feel like something's missing. And again, it would be easy to blame, like, all the little pieces. Stroman for giving up. But, and Susan said this on the broadcast, you're allowed to give up runs.
No, it's not Stroh. It's the offense. The offense hasn't hit.
And this is what that's what Susan said.
Yeah.
It's like, we look at the home run that Stroh gave up, and it's like you want to put it on him. But it's not on him.
No, it was not on him.
This team is supposed to score runs.
Look, here's the thing that pisses me off, and you brought it up, even though you're citing Sean, this Anthony Volpe thing. Yes, Anthony Volpe's cooled off. You want to know why? Because if you cut him open, he's a human. Seriously, he's a freaking human being.
Of course he is.
But here's the best part about Anthony Volpe. How'd the game end yesterday? Anybody remember how the game ended? It ended with Anthony Volpe making a great
play up the hole. Right.
Great defensive play. So yes, he went 0-5. Yes, he's in a little bit of an 0-4. Yes, his batting average is down to a less exciting 324. Okay, he's slumping. It has nothing to do with him being in the leadoff spot. He was already moved to the leadoff spot, and he was hitting, and now he's slumping because he's a human. And he still gives you the best chance in the leadoff spot. But you want Gleyber Torres and his 554 OPS? Like, who the hell do you want then if you're so against Anthony Volpe leading off?
Nobody's against it.
Nobody is against it. We are just acknowledging.
Then who am I yelling at right now?
You're not yelling at. All we are acknowledging is if he continues to struggle in this slump, we need to, as Yankee fans, understand that this was going to happen and come with the territory, not now jockey him in and out of the leadoff hole.
Yeah, he's at the point now where we're looking at him like we do Francisco Lindor. Yeah, he can go through some bad at-bats, right? Not barrel the ball, all that stuff. But he's a great defender.
Yeah.
That's how you rationalize Lindor's greatness.
I think his
ability to be a leader on this team always have to be with his bat.
But the other thing Volpe can do, Lindor can't do this as much because he's a three-place hitter when he's batting third, which he's been doing lately.
Yeah.
And we didn't see this yesterday from Volpe, is he can still get on base and still impact the game even if he's not hitting. Like, that's part of why he makes sense as a leadoff hitter. DJ LeMahieu is apparently on his way back. Here's what I would do. I'll tell you this right now. DJ LeMahieu, you're going to give Anthony Rizzo a day off here and there because he stinks. He's a mess right now. Play a little first base. You'll play a little second base because Gleyber Torres is still, not really clicking.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And then, you'll play a couple of games at third base, especially against the lefty. And my point is, Oswaldo Cabrera's got to keep playing. You got to ride that hot hand.
Right. Doubles machine.
He's a doubles machine. I mean, Oswaldo Cabrera has hit. So if DJ's coming back, great. It's good. More the merrier. I think what's funny is when they first signed DJ LeMahieu before the 2019 season, he was not slated to be the everyday anything. He was supposed to be a super utility player. And then he had such a great year, he became the everyday everything. I think now at the end, well, not at the end, he has a long contract, but all these years later, when DJ returns from the IL, that's who he is. He'll play a lot, but he's going to play a different position.
I need to say something very nuts and boltsy right here on the verge of DJ coming back.
Go ahead.
Jamai Jones got to be on the team now, too. We learned our lesson two nights ago. Giancarlo Stanton cannot be trusted on the base pass at any point. You need to, if you're carrying Giancarlo, carry a pinch runner at all times on this team.
He runs a tad bit better than a year ago. Like he doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. This looks like he's at least trying. Last year looked like he wasn't trying, but he itched.
But
awful.
I think he was still feeling side effects of whatever injuries were plaguing him earlier in the season. But he's trying at least this year, Stanton.
But him on the roster means two people on the roster. Yeah, you have to have a pinch runner.
He can't turn corners.
No, I understand.
It's like painful to watch.
But guess what? We're 2.5 weeks into the season. I'm knocking on wood. He's not on the injured list yet. So there you go. But nice victory for the Yankees. I think it changed the perception of what that road trip could have been like. We'll address the huge Mets controversy coming up in about 15 minutes. But let's get back to your calls. Let's go to John in Bogota. What's up, John?
What's going on, Evan and Tiki? How you doing?
We're good, man.
Good, man. What's up?
First, before I get my next point across, I'd like to thank Tiki Barber for taking pictures with us at the cheer event this weekend in Atlantic City.
Oh, nice. Love it, dude.
Great meeting you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good. You're a cheer dad like me, hanging out, craziness, running around for 8 hours.
My daughter's team won first place. It was nuts. Yeah.
Nice.
What team was she on? What cheer gym?
Meadowlands Stars.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, appreciate
congratulations.
You,
congratulations to her.
Thank you. But now to my next point. I don't see them why they can't go to the finals. I mean, if they're gelling at the right time, I could see them making a run.
I'm glad you could see that. Can I tell you why I don't see it?
Hmm.
Yeah, why not?
I don't trust your head coach in the postseason.
What?
I've got to be what? I mean, what? Like, I'm making this
doesn't
up?
Doesn't he feel different?
He does feel different, but until you witness it, or at least until I witness it in the postseason.
You should not even see it in the regular season.
Let me ask you a question. I'll ask you a little question.
Shoot.
Thank you for the call, John, and I respect
you. And good luck to your daughter.
And good luck to your daughter, and good luck to the Knicks. And I respect your passion. I'm just the bad guy. I got to be the bad guy around here sometimes. How many times in Tom Thibodeau's NBA coaching career has his team been the favorite? When I mean favorite, I'm not talking about Vegas odds. I'm talking about hosting game one and two of a series. Because to me, that's the favorite. You got 4 of 7 games in your entire building, right? Mm-hmm. You are the favorite in that series. Tom Thibodeau's teams, and it's happened twice with the New York Knicks. Twice with the Knicks. So I'm not just citing Chicago. I'm not just citing Derrick Rose. I'm citing his career, and it includes the Knicks. Have we seen the Knicks as favorites? Or the Bulls, as favorites, come up small when the expectations are high.
Of course.
We've already seen it twice. Remember the two series?
Of course.
The Miami series.
Miami and Atlanta.
And the Atlanta series. He is a guy who's made great adjustments this year. I give him a lot of credit. But Tom Thibodeau's always been a great regular season head coach. He has. He needs to prove that in the biggest of spots. And he's going to get a test right out of the gate because he's going up against the head coach that's very tough to outcoach in Nick Nurse. So I look at Thibodeau as a really good head coach, but he now has to prove it if you want to get to the next level and get to the NBA finals like our last caller suggested.
Yeah, look, and I agree. It's easy to point to the coaching, but ultimately it comes down to the players. And the one thing about this Knicks team in particular that gives you hope is that these guys can like play 45 minutes if they have to. Like it feels like they're conditioned to do that. And not that, you know, conditioning makes you knock down shots, but conditioning keeps you from being a coward in those moments, right? Because fatigue, we know that's a cliche. We used to always talk about it in football. It obviously probably is more applicable in basketball because of the change of direction. And it's exhausting to play basketball. Fatigue makes a coward out of anybody. Like, you can be the big wig, but as soon as you get tired, some people turn into punks, right? And so I don't think that happens for this Knicks team. So there's an edge that they have. And Loogie was joking about this in our first segment, but he's right. The 76ers' best player is not in game condition. He's just not. At least not. He can't play 45 minutes. And he can try, but he's going to be huffing and puffing like Loogie was alluding to. So I think the Knicks have an advantage, and I just got to believe that because of the player advantage, Tom Thibodeau becomes a better coach in the postseason than he has been.
Well, he's got to prove it. Tom Thibodeau has coached 8 postseason series in his NBA career in which his team had the advantage seed-wise and home court advantage-wise, 8 of them. Mm. His teams are 3-5. including a bunch of them, yeah, with Chicago. They were a one seed. Now, Derrick Rose got hurt, but they lost that series. The series against Miami when they won 60-plus games. And obviously, the two series I just cited last year against Miami, where they were the favorites, we sort of forget that, and 2 years earlier against Atlanta. So there's a lot to prove here. And it's going to start right at the beginning with a really tough test against a championship-caliber head coach in Nick Nurse. And I don't want to say a championship-caliber team because the Sixers have their own demons they have to figure out.
Yeah.
They do. But like I said, most of the time their demons come out in the second round of the postseason. Not initially in the first round of the season. But guess what? Usually they have no problem in the first round because they're facing the Nets. And guess what, Joel, you big fake tough guy that you are? This New York Knicks team, and I know them well, they're not the Nets. See, I could be honest. I could pump you. I can't stand Joel Embiid. Ugh, the fact I got to root for this guy.
Don't root for him.
I got no.
Just root for the Knicks, dude.
Scott's in Hamilton.
What's wrong with you, man?
There's a lot wrong with me. What's up, Scott?
What's going on, boys?
Yeah,
it's good.
What's up, man?
Tiki, what's going on, buddy?
No complaints.
Evan, once again, I'm going to rag on you, Mr. Captain Condescending yourself. You know, it's every time you got to be anti-Nick, anti-this, by your team, the Nets, that you paid so much money when you had Durant and everybody else over there, and you couldn't do it. And you're still going to go ahead and go on Tommy and talk about how you filmed him when he was upset. I mean, Evan, I'm going to enjoy it when after this series and the Knicks win, and then after your Isles get knocked out by the Kings, and we'll face them with the Rangers in the next round.
Mm. What makes you any more different than me then? You're rooting for the same kind of pain,
Evan,
of a fellow New York team.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm rooting for this because normally I wouldn't even call up about this. But every time I hear you, you got to brag about how, oh, I got to root for the Sixers, but I hate Philadelphia.
Wow.
I got to root for this team. But, like, dude, root for New York.
Nah, it's not as easy. You're not sitting there rooting for the Islanders. You just said you're rooting for Carolina. And by the way, it's so easy for anyone to understand. We are about to enter an NHL postseason in which two of the three local teams are in the postseason. And oh, by the way, they're in the same freaking bracket. So it's on the table. We see each other in a couple of weeks, right? No Ranger fan is sitting there rooting for the Islanders. I know Sean lies about it and says, oh, it's the easier matchup.
Of course you're rooting for that.
Your sister's ass.
Evan.
You don't like the Islanders. You said it earlier, and that's fine. I respect
Evan,
that.
Evan, I don't like the Islanders, but unlike you who roots for most of the little brothers in town, I prioritize what's best for my teams farming my own land. So, yes, I do believe, and by the way, everybody's entitled to their opinion, every Ranger fan should be rooting for the Islanders because the biggest threat, forget in the bracket, maybe to the whole Stanley Cup, is the Carolina Hurricanes. I want them out.
I give you one benefit, though, too, Tiki, for Ranger fans rooting for the Islanders.
Which is?
We are about to embark in the winter sports postseason. The Islanders are there, the Rangers are there, the Knicks are there. And all three teams have something in common, which I think is awesome. They're all facing teams in which all you gotta do
is take a
is
trip.
Get in your car.
A nice, easy trip.
Now,
that's
Raleigh,
so
Raleigh's not easy, but I've done it, and it can be done, and it's 8 hours, and you're bing, bing, you're in and out. It's not terrible. Now, you could fly. You could fly to Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's like a 48-minute flight.
Yeah, it's a quick flight. It's a quick flight, so it's up to you. As an individual, you want to fly down to Raleigh, North Carolina, fine. But then you've got D.C. You got the Rangers taking
and
on the Washington Capitals.
That's easily drivable.
Oh, my God.
That's 4 hours.
That is
maybe four and a half if you're in the city or north.
That's right.
Or if Jersey, it's quick.
Or if you drive like Tiki and go 95, you know, get down there real quick. 95 on 95.
It is.
That's what they call Tiki.
Oh,
95
that's
on 95.
That's not the speed limit. Oh, my bad. My bad, officer.
Got confused.
I'm from New Jersey.
You have to admit, like, that is great for us as sports fans because we're so overpriced up here, too.
Yeah.
Like, even Islander tickets, they're just crazy expensive. Ranger tickets through the roof. Knick tickets, incredibly high. And I've seen this with Philly. I have not analyzed it yet with Washington, okay? Because I don't think their tickets went on sale yet because they just made the postseason.
What's the enthusiasm for them right now?
Well, I know they love Ovechkin, but he's old. Yeah. He's not coming off a great year, and I'm sure the expectations are they're going to get smoked by the Rangers.
So, like, that's got to be an easy ticket.
I think
it will be. Or a cheap ticket. I don't know.
We'll
find out.
Well, because Ovechkin, this could be it for Ovechkin? I don't know.
You know what? That's a big deal.
Could be his final postseason. I mean, he'll play next year, but...
Is he 40?
38, I think.
He's got to be close to 40.
I think going down to D.C. is going to be affordable. That'd be my guess. Like, not just the tolls and the driving, but in terms of the tickets, like, I don't think it's going to be that crazy to go down to Washington, D.C. and see Rangers Capitals. The problem with the NHL, though, They got to put the schedule out, man. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Why do they take so long?
Because they still have games tonight in the Western Conference, and I guess they want to configure the TV exactly the way they want. But it's so not fair to the fan. I'm not just talking about Ranger and Islander fans, but even the fans of the Caps and the Hurricanes, and you want to plan out, hey, can I go to this playoff game? Like, my sister, believe it or not, is a season ticket holder for the Florida Panthers. True story. Like, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew, they have become huge Panther fans. They love the Florida Panthers to the point where they have season tickets. And so my sister's texting me, like, when's the schedule coming out? We got to know if we can go to games. And I said, well, game one has come out, so we know the Rangers are playing Sunday at 3. We know the Islanders are playing Saturday at 5. And in her case, we knew the Panthers were playing the Lightning at 12:30 on Sunday. She was like, oh, she would start cursing. I was like, what the hell are you cursing about? And they have like an engagement party.
Yeah.
My point is, not that anyone cares about my sister's engagement party, but what you care about is that people have lives. Like, people can't just, oh, all right, playoff game, gotta go. And yet the NHL, with their arrogance, doesn't tell us anything until when?
Like tonight. You'll get
tonight,
it late tonight.
It's a Thursday night. The playoffs start on Saturday. Can you give your customers some freaking notice?
And they already missed the boat. They have all day Saturday to play an Islander game with the other teams playing Sunday or late Saturday night, and they're putting it basically right up against the Knick game.
No, I know. And that's, like, I don't know who to blame for that. Because, look, at the end of the day, the Islander-Knick fan, like, there is some crossover, but for the most part, you're going to watch the team you care more about. But if you're the NHL, can you grow a half a brain? Why would you put the Islanders up against the Knicks? The Mets play at 4 o'clock, too. Mets at 4, Islanders at 5, Knicks at 6. What time do the Yankees play on? They play 1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock Saturday, 1:30 Sunday. Yeah.
Okay, so the Yankees are perfect for the most part. I know they're going to run into the Rangers a little bit on Sunday, but not really.
No, the Rangers are in a perfect wheelhouse at 3 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah, no, but the Yankees will run into the Rangers
right,
a little
at the
bit.
End of the game, yeah.
But don't they realize the New York market? Like, don't they want to get as many eyeballs on all of these games? Why don't they split them up?
We could have John Sterling honored at 1, Islanders at 3, Knicks at 6, perfect Saturday. All you had to do was move that game up 2 hours.
Oh, you would have gone 3 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I think 3 o'clock's perfect because you might get the casual getting together before the Knick game, tuning in. All right, we'll check out what the Islanders are doing.
Yeah, so now you've got Yankees at 1, Mets at 4. And I get the baseball stuff. It's baseball. It's not the end of the world. Now, the big thing for the Yankees is that we're honoring John Sterling on Saturday. That is a big deal. The game itself, look, it's baseball. There's 162 games. I get all that. But you got Yankees at 1, Mets at 4 against the Dodgers, Islanders at 5, Knicks at 6. That's a Saturday.
That's a lot. You're going to have some people blacked out drunk for Nuggets Lakers.
I'm sure. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. And we've got a huge controversy around the Mets' success. Now, you've been asking, what is it? Well, it's pretty serious, and it's causing the fan base to get very heated with one another. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Bad Tiki in about an hour. In less than a half hour, we will reveal 4 more in the highly anticipated Evan and Tiki Top 20 brought to you by H.L. Gross, Trillis Garden City, the top 20 draft picks in New York sports history. We will get numbers 12, 11, 10, and 9. You'll get 4 more tomorrow. Then on Tuesday, you'll hear the near misses. And then on Wednesday, on the eve of the NFL draft, we will unveil with this committee and you, the people who voted at WFAN.com/draft, what you came up with as the 4 greatest draft picks in New York history. Before we get back to your calls, a lot of Knicks, a little bit of Yankees. The Mets beat the Pirates yesterday. They swept the series. They are red hot. They're 2 games above 500. We're all feeling good. But there is a controversy surrounding this team that needs to be addressed. And, of course, I'm talking about the good luck pimp. Okay? For those that are not familiar, and I am late to this game as well, I was not aware of the good luck pimp. But apparently, at the end of the series against Detroit, a man was spotted on TV dressed what appears to look pimp-like. He's got like a purple, how would you describe that?
It's like a shag jacket.
Yeah. And a wig and glasses.
Yeah, like a fro wig. Glasses. Looks like a pimp.
He looks like a pimp.
Looks like a 70s pimp.
And so ever since he's been shown, a lot of Met fans have addressed that the turnaround is connected to the pimp. So we talked a few weeks ago about the dogs with the Yankees and who let the dogs out with the Mets and the thumbs down with the 17 Yankees. Sometimes these rally cries come out of nowhere and you can't even predict it. They just come up out of nowhere. And right now for the 2024 New York Mets, who are playing tremendous baseball, their rally cry is the rally pimp.
Is it really?
I think it is.
I mean, you're the biggest Met fan here, and you didn't even know about it.
So I didn't know about it until yesterday because I think my brain was so connected. I'm going to games. I'm not seeing it on TV. I'm not connected to social media all the time. I picked up on it yesterday, and then I did my research, and I'm like, wow, so we got a rally pick.
Okay, so what kind of feels do you get out of this?
I hate it.
Why?
I hate it. I think it's just lame. It just doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with being anti-pimp. I know Andy Martino, one of our sort of colleagues from SNY, is getting a lot of crap because he went on social media and said, quote, pimp imagery is problematic on so many levels. Let's think about it for 2 seconds. Can we please not make this a big part of the 2024 Mets imagery? Q replies about woke culture, blah, blah. I don't care. I'm right about this. I don't necessarily agree with what Andy's saying about pimp imagery being problematic. I think it's dumb. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like, can we do better than a freaking guy dressed up as a pimp to be our rally cry?
Oh, what? Come on. Well, first of all, my immediate response to Andy Martino's tweet is ugh. Second of all, I mean, come on, relax. I guess we should ban the pimp episode with Kramer on Seinfeld. Here's the problem, Evan. You had 9 fans at one game, 17 at another. At least the rally pimp keeps coming through. So when the stadium starts to get more packed as the electricity and the buzz builds, I give this guy credit because he stuck out amid small crowds and has gotten the team going.
Hold on, Sean. I have nothing against the guy. Okay, the guy is fine with me. Like, he dressed as a pimp. He tries to rally the team. I love all Met fans. Like, I have no issue with him. So don't try to start an issue between me and the good luck pimp.
No,
I'm just saying, like, as a fan of the rally cry that we've seen in the past, we talked about it a few weeks ago around the Yankees, I just want better than a rally pimp. That's all. Can I expect more?
Well, look, you already have an apple that gets raised, right? I mean, we do all that stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. This is just like a guy with license plates around him, love license plate guy, or a guy with a fireman's helmet. Only this is a pimp guy.
You need this. You're misconstruing this. I'm not against a fan. I'm against the 2024 Mets being defied by a guy dressed like a pimp.
But he's a fan.
Yeah, and I don't think...
I have no issue with the guy. No. Why are you guys not listening to me?
So apparently, his name is Max Wiener.
Oh, here we go.
He's a lifelong Mets fan whose parents have a 20-pack of season tickets.
Hold on. This is the year of the Wiener. Because on opening day, we had the veteran, too.
Maybe Seymour Wiener was the veteran.
Maybe he's related. He has 6 ostensibly colored fur coats. He buys clothes at thrift stores and has been dressing like this since his sophomore year in college.
Wow.
According to a Newsday article.
Tiggy.
They did a story on
it. I like Max Wiener. Like, apparently, the way you described him, like, I like Max. I'll take him to a game myself. Big fan of Max Wiener. I'm just saying, can we do better than a rally pimp?
But what do you think? They're going to call these the pimp Mets? No, it's just a guy they're going to keep showing on the Jumbotron or on SNY when the rallying's happening. It gets the crowd going. By the way, this sounds an awful lot like cheering for free chicken, Tiki, doesn't it?
Has nothing to do with free cheering.
Well,
for
when they
free
show
chicken.
Them and everybody gets fired up, the rally pimp's back. It's like cheering for free chicken.
No, that's fans being bribed in the midst of a play-in game with free chicken.
You're being bribed to cheer when you see the pimp.
That's not true. You're just making something up. He's just a guy who I like. I like Max Wiener. I got nothing against Max Wiener.
You have never once met this Wiener.
No, but Tiki just described him. You know, goes to the games, he dresses like this, he's a big Met fan, he probably scores games too. I like him.
There's no way he scores games with those coats.
Why?
That's a lot going on. Now he's got to carry the scorebook.
I've noticed a trend at Citi Field lately. A lot of people scoring games. A lot of people scoring games.
You started a trend?
And I didn't say I started anything.
Tiki's the fashion guy. Tiki, as the games get hot, July, August, is there a lighter version the pimp goes with?
Yeah, he'll just wear shorts. And those jackets, like the 80s, remember those 80s, like, I don't know, wind jackets? They were just big and crazy. You don't remember. You guys were
Yeah, I don't remember pimps in the 80s. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not talking about, they weren't pimps. This is like regular clothing that you would wear. You don't remember the zoot pants, like the zoot suit pants?
No.
Like
we were three.
Yeah, you guys are too young. But it used to be a fashion. I mean, there's a reason that the pimp is the 70s like icon. It's an iconic image from the 70s. Is because of how they dressed.
Right.
Right? And so it's just a takeoff of that that went mainstream a little bit in the 80s. So he's probably wearing, like, his parents' old clothes. I'm being serious, to be honest with you. And celebrating Mets fandom because in the 80s, the Mets were pretty good.
I just think the thing here is, though, this isn't a rallying cry. It's a rallying figure.
Yeah, well, it's the thumbs down. I mean, wouldn't you say it's very similar to the thumbs down guy with the Yankees in 2017? It's similar.
I think this is more similar to the rally monkey Anaheim had.
I was thinking that, too, by the way. The rally monkey is a fair comparison. For those who don't remember, back in 2002, they would show a monkey on the TV screen. I think it was like a play, a stuffed animal. Was it a stuffed animal?
Huh?
No, it was an actual monkey.
It was an actual monkey.
You're right. It wasn't even a stuffed. It was an actual, like, monkey, like a little cute baby monkey, like the one from Friends.
Marcel.
Friends? Like
Marcel.
Was it actually Marcel, by the way?
No, I think Marcel had died.
Really?
Yeah, I think Marcel had died before that.
No, Marcel died in the show, but no, maybe the actor.
No, the monkey itself, I think, died before.
Wait, you consider them an actor?
Yeah, yes, of course.
It definitely is. Mr. Ed was an actor.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Lassie's an actor.
Lassie's not an actor.
Do you consider Smarty Jones an athlete?
I want to see their SAG cards.
Point is, I agree
Somebody
with
Somebody got paid for them to be on television.
That's true.
That means they're an actor.
The Rally Monkey's a good comparison. Do you like, Lugie, as a Met fan, do you like the Rally Pimp?
You know what, Evan? As a fellow Met fan, I think it's time once again for all the Met fans to jump aboard the... Come on, Evan, do it with me.
Ho-train! I don't think we can say that anymore.
We can't?
No, I think that Godfather probably got canceled.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. It's all right.
So we won't do that as a rallying cry. I don't care. You know, Pippin ain't easy. It ain't easy. Who am I to judge? Pippin ain't easy. They all come from Stone Mountain. I'm not going to, you know. We'll have Cat Williams at the game.
Basically, all Lugie's doing is he's referring to a professional wrestler from the late 90s in the Attitude Era named The Godfather, in which his... Yeah, this was his theme song. And his gimmick was he was a pimp.
Pimpin'
so you're saying
easy.
The Mets should come out to this theme song?
And maybe? Godfather would come out with some nice young ladies from around the town, and it got me through puberty. So it was the late 90s. Anything
up,
goes.
Pump up the music a little bit.
Bill Clinton's America.
Imagine the Mets warming up to this music.
What year is it?
99, 98.
Oh, that's too late for this.
Well, that was his gimmick. It was
true.
His
That's too late. That's
you know
bad.
What? Lugie may have turned me with the Godfather stuff. Maybe
Come on.
Maybe I'm into this.
You know what? They're winning games. I don't care what they do as long as they can win some damn games. If people want to dress like a pimp, like Tiki said, it's 80 degrees and everybody's out there in their mink coat, do it. Get Don Magic Juan out there. Get Cat Williams. Get all the pimps from Stone Mountain. Snoop Dogg, all of them.
All right. So maybe the people like the rally pimp. I have no idea. Now let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Jim in Rocky Point. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No
Listen
problem.
Every day, you can enjoy the show on the way home. Can't
Appreciate
thank
it.
You
thank you.
So back to the fandom, like you were speaking on before. I think there's certain exceptions, and some exceptions of the fandom are, you know, obvious. You get, like, the Mets playing against the Red Sox. A Yankee fan's going to root for the Mets.
Yeah.
You know, and then they want them to win, though. That's an obvious fandom choice right there. But then, when you have your rivalries, the Nets and the Knicks are in the same division. Of course, we dislike each other a lot more. I'm a fan. I compare myself to Marash. I'm very diehard for my Knicks, for my Yankees, and for my Giants. I'm right there. Tiki, I grew up watching it.
Right. So, oh, appreciate you.
Point being, when the Giants play the Jets, yeah, of course I root for the Giants. Otherwise, if I like to have a horse in the race. So if I'm watching the Jets around at 4 o'clock, all right, whatever. I'll root for them, but they're not my team.
Well,
you know, and I'm not going to war for them. You know?
But you know what I think is different in this case, and I appreciate the call, is that, and I was alluding to this earlier about Philadelphia. Like, we don't like Philadelphia. It's a rival city, but we haven't had a lot of playoff battles over the years. The Giants and Eagles have, but outside of that, the Knicks and Sixers haven't played in the playoffs since 1989. Yeah, the Nets have played the Sixers, but I kind of know the Nets' place in the city. The Islanders played them during the pandemic. The Rangers have only played the Flyers one time in the postseason in the last 20-plus years. The Devils have rarely played them. The Jets have never played the Eagles in a Super Bowl. Mm. And the Mets and Phillies, while they share a division, have never had a postseason series. So we don't like Philly, but there isn't that hate for the 76ers necessarily the way there is for the Red Sox. Like, if we're talking team-specific dislike, it's more the city than it is the 76ers, because to a generation of fans, you've never battled the 76ers.
Yeah, it's the vulgarness of the fan base and the fact that they're no matter what sport it is, they're rude, right? And they're loud.
You say that
obnoxious.
As someone with experience.
Of course, tons of experience. Yes. Now, look, if you played like I did, they kind of respect you. But if I was just a fan, they don't care for the fans. Mm. They actually care more about the players than they do about the fans. Like, they're worse of fans than they are to the players. As crazy as that sounds.
Are you worried about going to Philadelphia then,
too? No, not at all. I'm never worried to go anywhere.
If you're in, I like that. If you're in the arena, because we are planning now on going to game six in Philadelphia, and we're sitting upper level, okay? You're not sitting courtside. You're not sitting with the bouge. You're sitting upstairs. And you're walking around that concourse at Wells Fargo Center.
I could. If I got tickets down near the court, would you want to sit down there?
No, he's not allowed to. I got tickets for me and him. He's sitting upstairs with me. Okay. He ain't sitting courtside.
What if I took his seat and Loogie came down and sat on the court?
Wait, hold on. You guys are sitting courtside?
No, I'm just saying. What if I did? If I got tickets, would you want them?
Of course.
No. I was the one taking you. You got to sit with me up in the upstairs.
What is this?
Bigger, better dealer.
What is this?
Bigger, better dealer.
This is not the prom, okay? I don't care. I could go switch dates if I want.
I took close. I took money out of my kids' pockets.
Oh, don't pull the kid angle.
To buy two tickets.
Don't give me the Tiny Tim example here.
Well, look, I could have bought a toy for Spence and Jed. Instead, I bought Loogie a ticket for Nets Sixers.
And
now,
I appreciate
because
that.
Tiki gives you a better option for game six,
yeah.
You're saying go scratch?
Yes. Yes. I'm the same guy that said I would divorce my wife for Sydney Sweeney. You're damn right. If there's better seats, I'm going to them.
Bigger, better dealer.
Thank you.
Loogie, how are you going to get down to Philadelphia again?
You're driving me, Fatso.
You can go upstairs with Ev.
What do you mean I could go upstairs with Ev?
Take an Amtrak then.
What do you have to do with it?
He believes in loyalty, that Sean Moore.
Oh, right? Really? We
no,
could
he
recite
just wants
many.
To sit down there, too.
Exactly.
I want to sit with Tiki. I don't want to sit with Loogie down there.
But if you're upstairs, I understand you could sit downstairs. If you're walking around upstairs, what do you think the fans would scream at you as you walk by?
Nothing.
You don't think they say anything?
They say, what's up?
So you think the upper deck Sixer Philly fan is going to be respectful to you?
I was in Atlantic City this past weekend. Now, I think it is. Is it closer to Philly? I think it is closer to Philly than it is to New York.
AC to Philly versus AC to New York?
Yeah, because it took me
two hours.
Yeah, it's like an hour. So there were a lot of Philly like families down there. Now, obviously, I'm cheer dad in that moment and not like athlete Tiki, but they were cool as hell.
Interesting.
They were all great.
I think you have to sit upstairs just so we could do that science experiment. Like, we'll videotape it and you walking through the concourse of Wells Fargo, upper deck Knicks Sixers, just to see what people say.
Should I put a pimp hat on? Just pimp yes. Act like I'm my brother and own this city? What? This is my city. You all my bitches. What? Thank you. Thank you, Boogie. What up? Say something.
Dare you?
That's me being Rondé, by the way. That's not me being.
Oh, of course not. That's not digging. Would you wear a Rondé Barber jersey?
Oh, that would be
at
cool.
The game that night.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be so badass. Like, you should do that. That's what you should wear for Knicks Sixers in Philly. A Rondé Barber jersey.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We should all wear like weird. Like the jersey I'd clearly wear is a Nets Ben Simmons jersey.
Mm.
That's it. That's an interesting one. You go Rondé Barber. I don't know what the hell I put Sean in.
I have a Rondé Barber.
Oh, do you?
I could bring that. Or
how do you have a Rondé Barber jersey?
I collected a lot of jerseys in high school. That was the thing to wear was different football jerseys.
Huh. Okay.
I can see that.
Let's get some thoughts on the rally pimp causing major controversy amongst Met fans. Chris is in Flint, Michigan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Tiki Evan. Love the show as always.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. What's up?
All right. So, you know, I watch all the Mets games out of market on the MLB app, but when they were playing Detroit, I had to watch it on Bally Sports from Michigan. So they went out there and interviewed him right before that rally took place in game two, and they interviewed him. They were like, oh, man, you stand out. And he said how he had season tickets, and he's been a lifelong Mets fan. They were like, so where do you get this coat? And he said he got it off the rack of the women's section in Macy's. Geez.
Nice.
So, but I kind of like it. I kind of feel like we should kind of embrace it. I mean, anything to kind of, you know, keep the mojo going. I don't believe in, like, all these kind of things, but it's kind of nice to rally around something.
Now, Chris, they didn't call him a pimp, did they?
Nope, they just said Superfan Matt is what they call
him. I think the fans are calling him a pimp.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, like, he's walking around saying, hey, I'm the rally pimp.
Yeah, he's not doing that himself. He's not naming himself a pimp.
Until he walks around with a jersey that says rally pimp.
Which makes this, like, attack on him by some factions of media.
Well, it was just Andy Martino. I don't know anyone else who's attacking the pimp idea.
It doesn't make sense. It's like, because he's not, that's not what he's trying to do. He's just trying to be a major fan and live it the way he lives it.
I think the Met fan may convince me. I got Loogie thinking it's awesome. I got Chris and Flynn saying it's good. Maybe I got a less, I got
well,
a,
like, kinda, no. Dude, whatever works.
It's not about working.
Fans have superstitions. Now, let me tell you something, fans. It does absolutely jack. It means nothing.
Thanks for
how you
us.
Put your socks on this morning, or what beer you drank, or how fast you drank it, or if you took two shots instead of three, has no effect on what happens.
Are
on
you
the,
sure? Because there's a guy named Hank in New Jersey who thinks you fumbled because he put his underwear on the wrong way. He's convinced of that.
What? See, that's his problem. He shouldn't have worn underwear. I didn't wear underwear on game day. There you go.
You went commando?
Yeah.
Was that dangerous for your area?
No. It made me feel light.
But did you put
think how crazy that is. It made me feel light.
Huh.
Lighter. I felt faster.
Did you wear a cup?
No.
Football players don't wear cups?
No.
They don't wear cups.
Would you still go commando if the football pants were the equivalent to the baseball pants this year?
Probably not. See-through and rippable?
Wow. Yeah, no good.
Didn't someone lose them? Like, someone slid and ripped a hole in their ass, right? Didn't that happen?
Yes.
That absolutely happened, I think, a week ago. So, no, I probably wouldn't have.
Brian is calling from Sayville, New York. Hey, Brian.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
All's good, Brian.
What's up?
Hey, Ev, I'm kind of with you how stupid this is, but I also am dying to see him in the booth with Gary, Keith, and Ron talking about this.
Yeah.
I would look forward to that.
The Gary, Keith, you know what? I'm going to do this right now. I apologize. Do you have the audio ready, Lukey? We'll call it the table audio.
The table audio.
Yeah, just hear me out on this. Because okay. He mentioned the SNY booth. We'll do this before we get on TV. Though we could do while we're on TV with SNY, but we're very busy starting at 4 o'clock. You know, we do got a big New York Top 20 reveal. We got Bad Tiki. We got the mayor coming on, all that. Anyhow, the other day, during the Met broadcast, they were talking about how players on the road get nicer rooms now. And so they used to not get a suite, and now they get a junior suite. So Keith Hernandez was very passionate about, yeah, you know, it's so great when we got the junior suite. He wanted to clarify, we didn't need a presidential suite, we needed a junior suite. Mm. So without setting it up with any background information, because I'm not sure if Tiki's aware of the background, which makes this incredibly awkward, but I'll explain it to you after, right. Or maybe you already know.
I don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, the highlight of the Met broadcast yesterday, Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, talking about the junior suite and tables.
A regular suite's like a presidential suite. That's asking too much. A junior suite, you had a couch, a table, a little bit more space. That's all I needed.
What did you do with the table? Did you like host a dinner party in your room?
No. No.
Don't ask. Enough said.
All right. Do you get it?
Don't ask.
The table.
Enough said.
There's a background to this.
You just have dinner at it?
Something happened in the 80s, Tiki. Sean, are you aware of the table usage that Keith probably had?
Yeah.
Okay. Keith Hernandez, and I don't want to joke about it because it happened.
Yeah, he's talked openly about it. We used to do some events with him.
Okay, so. The drug trials?
Of course.
So Keith Hernandez, and he remember claiming at the time like 70% of baseball players were using cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing.
Probably was right.
And he was probably right. And Keith was partaking a lot in that. So when Gary says, what are you doing with the table?
I mean, that's intentional.
Gary did it intentionally?
He had to have.
You think Gary set up a cocaine joke?
I mean, why else would he ask?
I think he genuinely wanted to know, what did you need a table for? You don't think it was a genuine table question?
Well, what would you need a table for in a room anyways?
There's a lot of things you could use a table for.
Yeah, primarily to eat.
And what else?
All you need to do is eat.
Well, you could also, you know, snort the
right. Yeah. That's not off the top of your mind. So Gary had to have known that, right?
So you think Gary Cohen knew, I'm going to make an awkward cocaine reference and ask you what you need a table for?
Does Gary Cohen know about Keith's drug history?
Everybody does, but I forget about it all the time. Like, I don't. It's not top of mind.
Okay, so but why would you ask? Well, what did you need a table for? Like, that makes no sense unless you're setting up the joke.
You think Gary set up a cocaine joke? No way.
Yeah, see if Keith bites. They're having fun.
Exactly.
I love Gary Cohen. I mean this with the utmost respect. He's not one to throw in a cocaine joke. He's one to make a joke about a big word or a joke about, you know, education or a joke about umpiring or official scoring. But Gary Cohen is not setting up a joke about table usage in 1982 to find out what Keith was doing with it.
It's trust in Keith not to say, and it's a wink, wink to make the audience laugh.
Yes. I think you guys are crazy, but I thought that audio was very important to share because I thought that was unbelievably hilarious. Very quick break. When we come back, we reveal the next four in the New York Top 20 reveal, plus a lot more of your phone calls, a lot of Knicks, rally pimp issues, and the Yankees' big victory. 877-337-6666.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.